Vandeham Sri Guroshi Atav Pavikamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakha. So I'm to speak this evening on the topic of Bhakti Siddhanta, our Acharya, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He is described that in a day of Brahma, an Acharya of his standing, maybe hardly one or two may appear, so he can know what is his greatness. But before I speak about him, I'd like to say a few words about Mahamani Krishna Prabhu, who's also an Acharya. Of course, all Vaishnavas are to be honored and glorified, and only one or two may of the status of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur may appear in a day of Brahma. Such acharyas, they give life to all the devotees and all the acharyas. We find in Krishna's instructions to Uddhava, acharyang mang vijaniyan navamanyeta karhi chetna martya buddhya suyeta sarvadeva maya guru. If you don't know this verse, please learn it. Krishna says that you should know very well, vijaniya, should be known very well that the acharya is me, which means as good as me, and not to disregard him in any respect, because it's not to be considered an ordinary person subject to birth and death, because he is the sum total of all the demigods and devotees. So this is in the description of the acharya. It's actually in the description of the brahmachari life and how he has to approach an acharya. So brahmacharis, is there a translation going on? Anuvad ho raha hai, Hindi mein. It's going on in Russian, Telugu, Tamil. Anyway, according to need, please arrange accordingly. So this is describing, this verse, Krishna is describing the acharya may be the guru of a few brahmacharis. So it's not that we only worship and respect the jagat gurus, but anyone who imparts knowledge of Krishna. So we're all here today by the mercy of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, as received through Srila Prabhupada, and specifically as received here through Mahamani Krishna Prabhu, whom you may or may not know, but he inaugurated the preaching here, which has now come to the standard it's at now, which is a very wonderful standard, and what he started has been very ably carried on by others, and particularly by his brother, Sri Valla Prabhu, godbrother. So he's you can be a son and a brother at the same time. Spiritually, we're all brothers and sisters, isn't it? Because there's only Krishna, he's Param Purush. He's the father of everyone. But anyway, there are other divisions also, but these are fine points of Bhakti Siddhanta, that we're all jivas, but particularly he has given impetus to this. Acharya means not... Brahmin is known as one who eats on behalf of the Supreme Lord, but there are many gurus who are very expert in that department. But to give knowledge of the Supreme Lord, mostly the family gurus. Especially we were just discussing yesterday in Bangladesh, the main thing is the eating part. But to give knowledge of Krishna, and also to inspire others, not just by talking, but by character and practice. And it's an unfortunate fact of the modern age that people nowadays are raised on popcorn, potato chips, cartoons, and the internet, but actually the generation that Mahamani Krishna Prabhu came in, especially the culture that he was raised in, they didn't have such things, very fortunately. And so the kind of culture that he has been raised in, we can all learn from that. The character that he has is what we should be trying to ourselves imbibe and impart to others. That means very straightforward, very honest, very pure, and over and above all, very much dedicated to Krishna and Shastra and giving that to others. So thank you very much for all that you have done, for all the devotees here, and for being a great inspiration and for giving spiritual life to your many children. Not only three, but many. So tomorrow is the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, the anniversary of that. We don't say the death, but the disappearance. So I'll speak about about Bhaktisiddhanta. Yeah. Yata shrutam yata mati. As much as I've heard and according to my realization, or yata dhitam, that comes in Bhagavatam. Yata dhitam yata mati. We may think, well, why don't we have this tomorrow evening? Because tomorrow is the day. Well, one reason is because I'm booked to be in Kuwait tomorrow evening. But another reason is actually the festival is in the morning up till midday, and the festival is actually over at that time, so it's better to do the evening before. Traditionally, the festival begins the evening before with the Adivasa. In Bengal, they have the Adivas Kirtan. There's a little opening ceremony for a major festival the evening before. Anyway, that's a technical point. Speak about, meditate about, remember, serve, imbibe Bhakti Siddhanta. We don't say the death because a Vaishnav is not born in the way that an ordinary human being is. We say avyabhav and tirobhav. Although in Gita, of course, Krishna says janma karma, he's used the word janma, but then he qualifies that with the word divya. In other words, Krishna's janma is not an ordinary janma. It's not an ordinary birth. So that of the great devotees, they come to this, as Srila Prabhupada wrote about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he came to this world for a certain mission, and when he'd done that, he moved on. He went somewhere else to perform the same mission. So we don't say the death because Bhakti Siddhanta never dies. Just Krishna never dies. the jiva never dies. The relationship between the jiva and Bhagavan is, the jiva is to serve Krishna. Krishna is, he accepts service. Savior seva kabhav. That is bhakti. The mood of the servant and the served. The proper position of the jiva is jiveswarup hoi Krishna nitya das. The dharma of the jiva, jiva dharma, is to serve Krishna. And there are various moods and sthayi bhavs, various positions or from which devotees do so, of course. But yeah, this is all, these are all topics of Bhakti Siddhanta. So similarly, Krishna Swarup Hoy Jive Nitya Prabhu. The dharma of Krishna is to be the master of all living beings. So that relationship between them is bhakti. So Krishna never dies. The jiva never dies. The relationship between the jiva and Krishna is bhakti. So bhakti never dies. And Bhakti Siddhanta can never die. What is the difference between bhakti and Bhakti Siddhanta? There is no difference. Bhakti must be with Siddhanta. If there's Siddhanta means that's sometimes translated as conclusion, proper philosophical understanding. To understand what is bhakti. So this is inseparable from bhakti, because if one's there may be bhakti. There is bhakti. Generally there is bhakti is reflected in all living beings. The bhakti is not possible to separate the living being from bhakti. Because jiva swarup hoy Krishna nitya das. There is no jiva without bhakti. Jai. Purushottam Swami Maharaj ki jai. Hare Krishna. Now you caught me. Vasanto, please come. You have to come. We're talking about the acharyas, so you have to. I'm just making the show. You have to come and sit here. So every living being, bhakti is there. There is no question of any living. Where there is life, there is love. Where there is life, there is love. Because that is the natural characteristic of the jiva. Cannot be separated from his dharma, but it can become perverse. So in this world, bhakti is expressed as attachment to other living beings with what may be considered love, but that affection for other living beings is always tainted by this karma, material desire, which manifests as pungsastriya mituni bhavametam tayor aho hridya grantim ahu aho griha kshetra sutapte vitair janasya moho yamahamamete. Bhakti in this material world becomes reflected as the attraction between male and female, which expands into desires for home, wife, children, love, so-called love, money, property, and all these things. And in this way we are bewildered in this material world. So, atendriya priti vancha tare bale kam, krishnendriya priti icha dhare premana. What is prema, what is bhakti, that becomes expressed or perverted into material desire for one's own sense gratification. So even the plant growing toward the light, that is the expression of the consciousness, the desire of the jiva to enjoy. So that desire for personal enjoyment in the very covered form of the plant, that is his perverse expression of bhakti. So bhakti is there. No one can be devoid of bhakti. But it becomes covered and perverse. And in human society, there is always some form of religion. Even if there is no religion, there is atheism, which means Richard Dawkins, the most famous atheist in the world today, he has noted that the word atheism is in relation to the word theism. Atheism depends on theism, because you can't have atheism without theism. You can't disbelieve in a God unless someone believes. It's in opposition. So the word atheism is apposite and opposite to theism. So he protests against that way. He's trying to think of some other word where we could just... Nonism. I don't know. I won't try to make up some word for him. Let him work it out himself. Krishna gives him intelligence. How to forget him. So atheism, but generally in any human society, there, civilization means there's some dharma, and within dharma, within all dharmic traditions, which in the world today, there are two main strands or streams of dharmic traditions, which are the Abrahamic, means Judaism, Christianity, Islam, and the those that have come out of the Vedic culture, which includes even those that deny the Vedas, Buddhism and Jainism, but basically they have this, all the terms they use are Vedic and the concepts they have are Vedic. So in any human society there is dharma, and in any system of dharma there is, maybe not in this language, but there is karma, jnana and bhakti. You will find in any system. There's the idea that you worship God and he will bless you with material prosperity. That in Christianity, the Protestant ethic. Then there's jnana, or the mystical side, in which there are many less jnanis than karmis. That's there in every tradition all over the world, which veers towards impersonalism and seeing everything as all one and finding different interpretations within their religious books. And there is bhakti, which generally gets mixed up with impersonalism due to lack of a clear idea. So in India, that's more clearly expressed, the bhakti traditions. And there, bhakti is yepi anya devata bhaktya. We find the word, Krishna uses the word bhakta or bhakti even for worship of demigods. And there is worship of Krishna. That this is all included within bhakti. In the modern age, I saw some listing of the all the different bhakti traditions within India that someone had put on some website. And that included not what we would include within bhakti, having received bhakti siddhanta, we wouldn't include them, but they include all the guru bhakti traditions, just like ashram and amma and all that, because the idea is there of bhakti, that it's focused on a person and it's a mood of love and dedication is there. So the bhakti is a very broad term. And bhakti is used for worship of various demigods, worship of imaginary gods, newly invented gods, worship of various people who are known as gurus. Therefore, bhakti siddhanta is required. Because without understanding what is bhakti, then our bhakti is there in everyone. That is the natural condition of the jiva. But without understanding what is bhakti, then our bhakti cannot be full and proper. Bhakti Siddhanta, this term we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bhakti Siddhanta, what is that? Bhakti Siddhanta Virudha Arasha Bhash Shunile Prabhur Chite Nahoyulash. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, many people would bring writings, poems and dramas, writings to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of bhakti, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a bhakta, so they would bring writings of bhakti. But they would not be allowed, first they had to be screened by Swarup Damodar. And only if he allowed, they would be allowed to bring their works to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because many times people, they would bring their writings and in their own estimation and in that of others, they would be works of bhakti, but they would be bhakti siddhanta viruddha, or opposed to the actual understanding of bhakti, or with rasabhas, with unpalatable mellows, it's translated. But if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these, even though it was about, the topic is bhakti and Krishna, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not be pleased to hear it, because it's not to the proper point. Therefore, we should understand what is bhakti, what is bhakti siddhanta. Again in Chaitanya Charitamrita we find, Siddhanta balaya chitte na karaha alash, eha hoite krishne lage suriramanash. Bhakti means that the mind should be very strongly attached to Krishna. But that comes by assiduously studying and understanding what is siddhanta, what actually is bhakti. And if we don't do that, if we're lazy, if we think, well, bhakti is all feeling, so let me give my heart to Krishna. So that's very nice, but if we don't know who Krishna is, who we are, and that my heart is not offerable to Krishna because it's full of stool in the form of material desires, then that won't be pleasing to Krishna. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, on the basis of this, stated that Siddhanta Alashjan Anartha Tocharena. Who is that? You were asking about giving up anarthas. So here's a good answer for you. That one who is lazy in the matter of understanding Siddhanta, they cannot give up anarthas. So what is that Siddhanta? What is the Siddhanta of bhakti? That, of course, there are so many divisions in that. What is, first of all, the tattva-gyan of, who are we? Ishvara-tattva, jiva-tattva, bhakti-tattva. Then in the higher level, the rasa-tattva, prema-tattva, radha-tattva, shakti-tattva. So all these have been elaborated on by our acharyas, especially Jiva Goswami. We are known as Rupanugas, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He is praised as Rupanuga Viruddha Apasiddhanta Dvanta Hari. He who removes the darkness of wrong conclusions opposed to that given by Rupa Goswami. But practically much of the elaboration of what is Bhakti Siddhanta was done by Jiva Goswami. So sometimes Gauriyas, they're also called Jivanuga, followers of Jiva Goswami. He has given those conclusions. Now, of course, not everyone can study all of Jiva Goswami's works. So acharyas, they are supposed to, of course, there may be acharyas on different levels, and it's not that every acharya will. To impart Krishna bhakti does not necessarily require a high level of scholarship. Srila Prabhupada often emphasized this, that and in Chaitanya Charitamrita we also find Jaha hoite Krishna bhakti shei guru hoy. From whoever you get bhakti, that is the guru. So it may not require a high level of scholarship, but for one who takes to bhakti, naturally there may arise many doubts. So one who can clear the doubts, that generally these persons are called acharyas, and that is required. There may be many bhaktas who are inspiring, who have bhakti to give to others, but those who have been trained in shastra and who can resolve the doubts, that is shastra jukte shunipun drija shadhaja utam adhikari shaitariye shamsa. So that is described, the utam adhikari who is fit to deliver the world. Certainly Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he is fit to deliver the world. Then shastra yukte, who can harmonize all the apparently contradicting statements and give a proper understanding, who is very expert in that, and is deep faith. Deep faith, shraddha is translated as faith, but like many words, the English equivalent doesn't match up to the original Sanskrit term. The shraddha means that in which we place our heart. So that is required to explain all these things. Now this is a very interesting point. There's so many things if we get into the ocean of Bhaktisiddhanta. That Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself was once, he was giving a lecture. And for him, lecture means minimum 2 hours. Often 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, and you're laughing. Why are you laughing? The same thing I said. Popcorn and TV, and now internet. This is our culture. But you weren't raised in that culture. You're raised in a culture where people understood the importance that life is not meant for working hard to earn money. Then you earn money and you eat some potato chips and go to some movie. But yavanartha prayojanam, that's for your farm project. Don't work, make the material disease. You come from the city culture, so you get a nice farm and you think, well, we can do this and we can do that and we'll expand this way. And just sit down quietly, grow what you need, live simply and chant Hare Krishna. I see our farms throughout the world. They're always making new schemes, new plans. They're bringing this Rajasic mentality, and they have the farm, but they can never be peaceful because they're always saying, we have to do this, have to do that, something more, this, that. Build a building, sit in it, go out, plow the fields, grow food, and chant Hare Krishna. That's the point. To chant Hare Krishna, hear and chant about Krishna. Otherwise, to have more and more fields, and that's not the point. Anyway, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would speak. So he, in one lecture, he was speaking about Kanishta Adhika, Madhyam Adhika, Uttam Adhika. So he elaborately explained Kanishta Adhika, Madhyam Adhika. And he said, then he came to Uttam Adhika and Uttam Adhikari. And he said, there's no need to speak about this very much, because here in Navadvip is residing Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, you can just see him and then you'll understand what is Uttamadhika. So he didn't know, but his guru, Gaurakishore, was sitting there in his lecture. And at that point he left. And when he got up and left, then he just Sarasvati Thakur saw there's someone leaving, because generally 5 hours, 6 hours, people won't leave because they don't have this, I've got to go and do something. They don't have this nervousness, so they'll sit. Of course, maybe not everyone will sit for 5 hours. He saw someone is leaving. Who is that leaving? He saw it. He'd been sitting in the corner, so no one noticed. And then when his name was mentioned, he got up and left. So, Bhakti Siddhanta. Yeah, tomorrow is the celebration. How much time do we have? You have also. You have this slideshow, is it? Oh, okay, all right. Yeah, so as we don't speak of. Yeah, so Bhakti Siddhanta, it's not just some name. You have to give someone a name. So he gives someone, you know, some name. Say, what are you going to call the child? Dimple, Rinku, something like this. Some kind of name. You have to give them some name. John, Jane, Harry. But the names, in Indian culture also, the name will be given just like the, according to the name Bhim. That was not, you may give some little skinny person like, you know, some body like this, Bhim, but it's not very suitable. So, the name should fit the activity. I was just listening to a Prabhupada lecture speaking exactly about Bhima, actually, so I was given that name. So, the name Bhakti Siddhanta is not just a name. You got to call them something. But she has several names. That's Bimala Prasad, also not just a name, but Bimala is the Devi in Puri, Shakti in Puri. He told me to link it with Puri, so the Shakti of Bhagawan. Bimala de also Gopi in Vrindavan. Bimala Gopi. So she is the Shakti represented in this world of Jagannath. So Bimala Prasad, then Varshabhanavi Devi Dayatadas. There's much import in that name. The lover of Radharani, in brief. He would, generally himself, he would not say the name Radha much, but he would say Varshabhanavi, Vrishabhanu Sutta, like this. According to his own relationship with her, which is Bhakti Siddhanta at the apex. What is that? Then Siddhanta Sarasvati, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati. Just by analyzing his name, if we are blessed by Sarasvati, then we can find out so many things about this personality. So he is Bhakti Siddhanta. Means it's not just a name, but Murtiman. I don't know how to say that in English. Sometimes you say personified, but it gives the idea that it, avyaktam. Vyaktim apanam, it gives that idea. There's no way to say it properly in English. But he is the very form that we can say. He is the very form of Bhakti Siddhanta. So what he speaks, what he does, what he gives to others, how he lives, is Bhakti Siddhanta, which is not different from Bhakti, but especially his mission was to establish in the world, the mission of every acharyas, various acharyas, their mission may be different in some way, somewhat different aspects, but particularly to establish the Bhakti Siddhanta, which had become covered by apasiddhanta, by misunderstandings. The teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have become covered over by misunderstandings. So bhakti siddhanta, which he came to, yes, what is that? Well, briefly, yeah, I was saying there's the different tattvas we have to understand, but the essence of what he spoke, rupa noga viruddha apasiddhanta dvanta hari, which means he is Hari, the remover of the dvanta, the darkness, of the upper siddhanta, the wrong siddhanta, the wrong understanding. Or not, it's not really wrong, siddhanta cannot be wrong, but misrepresentation of siddhanta, which is opposed to the actual siddhanta which is given by Rupa Goswami. So what is that Rupa Goswami gave? That anyabhilashita shunyam jnana kamadhyanavritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti rutama. This is bhakti. Of course, there may also be karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti, yoga mishra bhakti. This is called bhakti. But actual bhakti means krishnendriya priti icha, that which is performed only for the pleasure of Krishna. So any other idea, that may be admitted, that's admitted. Yes, there is. There are different levels. But actually, if we are to say bhakti, it must mean this bhakti in which there is no other desire than the desire to satisfy Krishna. And that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach. That's what he came to give, which culminates, as we were just discussing that, right? Radha Mahima Prema Rasa Shima. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give this. What are the glories of Radha? Only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could give that. And that is all given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Rupa Goswami gave so many literary contributions. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he delineates what is bhakti. When we say Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, bhakti, that term, that's there, but different people, when you say bhakti, generally in India, everyone except maybe some northeastern languages or something, but generally in every language the word bhakti comes, in every Indian language, because it's derived from Sanskrit. But when people hear bhakti, everyone understands what it means, but they don't understand. Unless we know what is bhakti siddhanta, we'll hear the word bhakti, but we'll have a different understanding. Everyone has a different understanding according to the particular upper siddhanta that they are attached to. So the word is well known. But what is the meaning? Actual bhakti means this. The bhakti in this world, well, the first level is cultivation of bhakti, of the desire to serve Krishna without any contamination. Without any contamination means the witches, as Rupa Goswami also says, the pishachi of jnana and karma. So that is, yeah, then bhakti, sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, prema bhakti, then bhakti ras. Before there's bhakti ras, there's a question of entering into bhakti ras. First it has to be understood what is bhakti. So Rupa Goswami has delineated that as much as can be done, because bhakti is unlimited. Krishna is unlimited. Every bhakta, every jiva has a personal relationship with Krishna. And within that personal relationship with Krishna, at every moment there are various feelings, various emotions, the tasting of rasa. So it's not possible to describe everything about bhakti, but Rupa Goswami has delineated that. And to clarify that, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati appeared in this world. Because what is bhakti had become misunderstood. Again, bhakti, if we say, Shankara, he also uses, he must use because he makes Gita commentary. The word bhakti comes in Gita. In Impersonalists, they also use the word Madhusudan Saraswati. He also describes what is bhakti. Then bhakti, in different sampradayas, according to their understanding, they'll give. But ultimately, what Rupa Goswami came to give, what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati came to give, is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. Which Bhaktivinoda Thakur, again, in his writings, in his songs especially, gave that understanding of what is bhakti. Bhakti ultimately means, Vraja Bhakti, even the there's Vaikuntha Bhakti, Ayodhya Bhakti, Dwarka Bhakti, ultimately there's Vraja Bhakti. And then the highest level of that is the Ramya Kachid Upasana Vrajavadhu. What is that? Ramya Kachid Vrajavadhu Vrajavadhu Vargena Yakalpita. Yeah. The ultimate Upasana is that which is the showed by the wives of the gopis of Vrindavan. So very, very high topics, very high and very deep. That seems to be a contradiction, isn't it? You say high and deep. But both the terms are there, not just in English. Uttam and Pragar, very deep. So very high, our spirit is lifted very high. But if we see the philosophical ramifications, which are inseparable from that, very, very deep. So the writings of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they're in such a language that actually for many years I didn't even try to read it because I thought it's too much headache to try to understand. And even some things I was reading, I couldn't understand. I brought to Gopi Pranadana Prabhu and he said, I can't understand. So, very difficult. It's the form of language that he used, I'm talking about Bengali. So, but that Bengali actually is not, it's not really Bengali, is it? His writing? Yeah, it's full of Sanskrit and he uses words, even the Sanskrit words he'll use in various, I was just reading something of his yesterday, one word, and I thought, how is this word being used here? It seemed inappropriate. So I looked in the Sanskrit dictionary, there were like many, many definitions, and the last definition, which was very rarely used, was he was using that as an adjective. So there's so much, even how will anyone even know that meaning? So very, very highly Sanskritized, using his own, you could say, his own usage means not his own usage, it's Saraswati's usage. But which will not be an ordinary usage because when we say Saraswati, he is Saraswati. That the devotees, the followers of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, they recognize in him. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said about Saraswati. What is that? Saraswati, Krishna Priya. Saraswati Krishna Priya Krishna Bhakti Tar Hiya. And what's that last line? Krishna Bhakti Tar Hiya. I'm not remembering the last line. So, Shei Binodaya Vaibhav. That Saraswati is the very Priya, the very dear one to Krishna because Bhakti is her heart. And she is the, or he is, the vaibhav of Bhaktivinoda. So, the Saraswati, he is Saraswati. How is that? Because his whole Saraswati, Divya Saraswati, who's the Shakti, of Krishna, of Vishnu. she gives thee understanding in the mind of the pure devotees of who is Krishna. She inspires. When the pure devotee reads Shastra, he finds Krishna everywhere. When the non-devotee reads Shastra, Dushta Saraswati, or the another representation of Saraswati, gives the tremendous intelligence to analyze all the scriptures and have so many realizations and know Krishna anywhere. Or if Krishna's there, it's just some side story. That's all. The devotees, they find Krishna by the mercy of Saraswati. And the non-devotees, they'll never find Krishna by the mercy of Saraswati, who is the Shakti of Krishna by which Matasmriti Jnanam Apohanam Cha. So Saraswati affects that. So Saraswati, his writing is so deep, but then if you do enter into the depth, if one can enter into that depth, then you'll be carried high. So, yeah, tomorrow then is the celebration of the disappearance. But Bhaktisiddhanta never disappears. He never dies. He himself said this, Bhaktivinoda dhara kakano ruddha hoibena. The flow of Bhaktivinoda. He is all, and that's another point, that I was given this service, or somehow had the service of compiling this book on Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav. But it's actually very much incomplete. There's another huge to have this understanding. First actually should come Bhaktivinoda. Because he is complete, he is Bhaktisiddhanta, he is Bhaktivinoda. Just as he is completely Saraswati. Saraswati is completely manifesting through him, means he is everything he says, does, speaks, thinks. It's all inspired by Saraswati, is non-different from Saraswati, therefore Saraswati. The non-devotee, they may also be given the name Saraswati with that consideration, but he is actually Saraswati. But he's also completely Bhaktivinoda. Everything he does, says, it's all giving what he got from Bhaktivinoda. So even at the last point, he mentioned this, Bhaktivinoda dhara kakano ruddha hoibena. The flow or the line of Bhaktivinoda, that will never be stopped. That will never stop. That will always go on flowing. So there's no question of the death of Bhaktisiddhanta. But it may, just like the sun is always there, but it may become obscured. From our vision, being tiny jivas, the sun may not be present. Sun is always there, but we don't see. We may not see because the sun is covered by clouds, because it's the night time, because we have our back to the sun, because we have our eyes closed. So the sun is always there. So Bhaktisiddhanta is always there, but may become obscured. So Bhaktisiddhanta is always there, but it may become obscured or it may become very dim. Just like the teachings of Rupa Goswami were there in the world, they were there, writings were there, but who is there to, unless they are spread in the world and taught in the world and practiced in the world, it's almost as if they're not there. They're not taken advantage of. To give a crude example, the electricity. Who invented electricity? No one invented electricity. It was always there, but different people found ways to harness that energy, and therefore we have this and lights and air conditioners, all these things. So it was there, but there was no one to take advantage, no one with the insight to take advantage and give that to the world. So Bhaktisiddhanta will never die, but unless there are persons who are also Bhakti Siddhanta, Vit. They know what is Bhakti Siddhanta. Knowing means not just some, take some Ayurvedic pills for brain power. But who can know that yasya deve parabhakti yata deve tata guru tasaite katitahiyata prakashante maha. Those who are with full faith in Guru and Krishna, to them all the import of the Veda is revealed. So the Bhaktisiddhanta is always there, but it may become obscured. And it appeared that after the passing away of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, of course he had many learned, devoted disciples, but it appeared that his gift to the world, he had come, he had passed away, and it was lost. It appeared, it may have appeared like that. Fortunately for all of us, I'm going to move it again. Bhakti Siddhanta did not die. He will never die, but it became largely appeared as if unmanifest, because he was not only a philosopher, not only a devotee, but he was a preacher. He sent devotees to the West for preaching. He sent them all over India. He himself traveled widely. But it appeared that his mission to spread Bhakti Siddhanta in the world was not going to manifest. So you know the rest of the story, I hope. How Bhakti Siddhanta lives on, or is manifest as Bhakti Vedanta, which the two terms are non-different actually. And although these two acharyas in many ways may appear different, but there's no difference, because they both have the same message. One, his message is so... Well, I learned many words also in the course of making that book. Turgid, which means a very difficult style of presentation. But actually, one thing about his writing style also is that it is actually extremely clear. Well, that may sound contradictory. But the way he writes, it cannot be... It's written in a style that cannot be misrepresented. Very, very... So, what he wrote in a very... or gave in an apparently very difficult style, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada gave the same thing in a manner crystal clear in English, which is the most amazing thing. I never knew what a funny language English was until I learned Bengali. It's really a very... Linguistically, it has many qualities also, but because Bhakti Siddhanta has never been the topic, it was a language which was developed for Ahara Nidra Maya Bhaya Maitun, for sense gratification. So there are so many words which are not translatable into English. Words like bhakti, siddhanta, rasa, prema. There's no translation. You can translate, but if you translate prema as love, and what is love? Anyhow, let's not think about what their idea of love. Love means degradation. So that Srila Prabhupada gave this in English is all the more amazing. That is by Bhakti Shakti. Anyway, there are so many things to say. Let us not let Bhakti Siddhanta die. It can die in our own hearts. We're very fortunate that it's come to life. by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of all of those who are teaching through Prabhupada's books. You know, that only will keep it alive. Otherwise, all the knowledge may be there, but unless we go on teaching it, then it may as well not be there. Electricity was in this world 1,000 years ago, but for all intents and purposes, it might as well not been there, because people had had no knowledge of it or how to apply it. So we can best serve the acharyas by being acharyas. That means not by imitation. Now you have to do my Vyasa Puja. Now you, I'm an acharya, now you have to serve me every day chapan bhog. Not like that. But by being Krishna conscious and attempting to impart that to others. So let us worship Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur by understanding who he is, who Srila Prabhupada is, parampara jano bhalo mate. These parampara jano, four words. There's so much in those four words. It means, sorry, I should have translated. Know well. We should know very well what is parampara. So we should know who are the personalities in the parampara, what are their teachings, what is the principle of parampara. There's much work to do, much service to do. By their mercy, they've left us so much service. So I won't speak more, as we have time constraints. Otherwise, we should only speak on these topics, day and night. Did you have, we had just recently the lunar eclipse. So usually when I'm not out in the preaching field, I rest by 9 o'clock, but we had a good opportunity to go on from 6 o'clock to 11 o'clock with non-stop. Because in India, it was 6 o'clock to 11 o'clock. I don't know about here, but we had non-stop kirtan and katha. So Rahu is also serving in this. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared also, I quoted, what is that? Akalanka Gaura Chandra Dila Darashan Shakalanka Chandra Ar Ki Prayojan. The spotless moon of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had appeared, so this spotty moon, what need was that? So Eto Chinti Rahu Koilo Chandra Grahan. Rahu thought, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's here, what's this other moon doing? So he ate the moon at that time. And then everyone was chanting Hare Krishna when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. So even, you see, even Rahu can do service. It's Krishnadas Kaviraj has seen this because he's an acharya, Bhakti Siddhanta. It's not just some chance occurrence.